Welcome, you're listening to Abnormal Japan, a podcast based in Tokyo. We share experience living in Japan while diving into abnormal topics. If you're an expat, curious about traveling, or just a lover of all things Japan, check us out. You can find our episodes on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Podbean, and YouTube. All the links will be in the description. All right, let's get on with it. Hey everyone, I'm your host Bree. Hope y'all are enjoying season 2 so far. Last episode, we discussed 2 years in Tokyo, our reflections and goals. So check it out. And as always, I'm here with my co-host.
The one, the only, Ashish. Thank you. What's up? How you doing?
I love your intros. They're so much more like dramatic than mine.
Well, I mean, I don't have as much to do, so I can kind of plan them out.
I mean, I guess. Tired myths about Japan.
All right. What's tired? You tired?
I'm tired of hearing these myths for sure.
I'm tired for sure, but let's get into it.
All right. So before coming to Japan, I've always heard super positive things about Japan.
Right.
It wasn't until I got here, though, I learned that Japan isn't like how it's often portrayed. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a lot of storytelling, a lot of narrative. No,
there's so many story times out here, like on YouTube.
I know, I'm like, wow, it's gonna be so great. I'm kidding. No, not really. I wasn't surprised, and I'm glad that when I actually knew I was moving here, I didn't have high expectations.
That's good, though.
So what was something that you heard a lot in regards to Japan?
So Japan is purported, right? I learned that word today. Purported.
Okay.
Yeah, it's called a very safe country. And it is true to a certain extent, but it depends on who you are as an individual. If you are a cishet male person, you probably be all right.
Ooh, we're getting like,
let's
there.
Let's just be honest. You probably be all right.
All right.
There's... So the myth is that Japan is super safe. It's... no crime or low crime at minimum, but there's a lot of stuff that we can talk about.
So you've heard that it's very safe?
Yes. Well, it's often portrayed as very safe.
Okay. I agree. Yeah, I hear that a lot.
Not necessarily people saying that.
So that actually, I want to talk about that as our first myth. We're going to go through several ones.
All right, right.
I hear a lot that it's super peaceful and crime-free. Mm-hmm. Now that we've been here, we can tell y'all what's up, okay? And yeah, of course, this is only our perspective.
Yeah, these are our experiences. They're not necessarily facts, and we're not trying to like...
Oh yeah, they're just opinions.
We're not trying to shit on a whole country. Mm-hmm. These are just what we've noticed.
Exactly. So, I will say, the crime is lower than said other countries.
This is true.
But it's not crime-free or super low. Okay? And for example, there's a lot of stabbings here.
Yeah, so many. A lot. Knife crime is very high.
Yes. Like even I think it was a few weeks ago in our town, some dude like stabbed a lady at a discount store. Just out of nowhere. And he even told the cash registers, hey, I tried killing somebody.
So he tried attacking somebody and he was like, oh, by the way.
No, he actually attacked her. He stabbed her with like, I forgot. It was a tool that was just off the shelf.
Like a screwdriver or something?
It was like a pick or something.
Oh my God, those ice picks?
Through her neck, yeah. And
girl,
luckily, she did live from what I heard. But yeah, he just told them like, oh, that's what I did.
I did not know it was an ice pick. I have joked about that.
Well, I don't know if it was an ice pick, but it was like a pick of some sort.
Oh my God. I feel so bad. We've seen some of those in the stores and have joked about it. I'm like, this is just out in the open. That's not a good
idea.
Yeah,
they don't cover it really well. But that's happened. So also, stabbings at parks with children. That happened recently. It's not super frequent, but it does happen. And it has been increasing, oddly. So that's not necessarily crime-free or makes you feel safe.
No.
Mm-mm. Also, chikan, which is pervert in Japan, they molest people. And molestations, from what I've heard, happen every day on trains in various areas. But they're not often reported.
I think the thing with those crimes in particular is because there's such a high volume, a lot of times they just get swept away.
They do. And when people record them, or not record, report them and let the police know, they often just brush it off because yeah. it's not seen as important, or it kind of sucks, but they have said like, oh well, it was your fault.
Mm-hmm. And or that's, like, did you die?
Or yeah, or did you die though? Yeah, stuff like that. And that's really unfortunate, because especially when you live and work in the city and you take trains a lot, trains get like jam-packed. Like, I don't know if you've seen like some animes or some stuff, but where people are like sardined in there.
Yeah, it's pretty bad.
Those situations do happen in Japan, and so that's like the perfect breeding ground for these chikan.
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
And also, it's not just like domestic Japanese people. Like, I've seen reports of like, you know, just handsy tourists.
Oh yeah, that's true. So yeah. That happens. And also, allegedly though, because I don't want to get in trouble, mm-hmm. Lots of crime isn't reported in Japan to maintain the image of a safe country. I have heard this a lot. It's alleged, but I've heard that, and I don't like that, because if a crime has happened,
or just because you don't report it doesn't mean it didn't happen.
Mm-hmm. Well, they don't like record it into the books.
I mean, like, they're yeah, mm-hmm. That's what I'm trying to say.
And so it makes it seem like, oh well, this town or this city or this country doesn't really have that much crime, and I think that's where the myth kind mm-hmm. of happens. Mm-hmm. Yeah, as far as it not being peaceful, I don't know, that's more like what you were saying.
Yeah, I think peace and safety are two different things that tend to overlap, but don't always. Like, I can be at peace walking around in the neighborhood, people look at me, they're like, oh, that's just a brown man, like, whatever. And like, yeah, they might be a little afraid of me because they're like, oh, what is he doing here? But like, I try to look, like, I try not to look like I'm a threat. Like,
yeah, for the most part, I will say it's generally peaceful.
Yeah, there's no, like...
But I will say where it's not as peaceful is with, like, people staring at me all the time. So it's,
yeah,
it's not like I could just walk around anywhere and just truly be on my own. There's usually someone, like, always staring at me. So that kind of does suck. Or in worst cases, I've had this happen to me before, creepers like following me and stalking me. So I'd have to purposely choose a different route home.
That's wild.
Yeah. Mm, so I think like that comes with like being so different, and people do have fetishes. So that is not fun. And so that doesn't make me feel that safe here. Cause I know
right.
something that I've always heard, especially with other women, they're like, oh yeah, I can walk home late at night and it's no problem. It's not like America. And I'm like, it's true to some degree, but when you've had people follow you here, it doesn't really match up.
And that's why I was saying peace and safety are not mutually exclusive, but they don't overlap. Like, I can be at peace, like, the neighborhoods are pretty peaceful, right? But sometimes, like in the recent situation, it's not safe. Even if it's peaceful, it's like a hidden threat almost.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And for a lot of people who kind of subscribe to that myth and they come here, it can be a very rude awakening, or worse, they can be a victim. So like,
exactly. So I think that's the message we're trying to say, is that like, for some people, you know, crime here won't affect them and it's really peaceful. But I do think, just like with any other country, watch your back and just make sure you don't, I don't know, fall into that belief, because you have to watch out for yourself anywhere, especially when you're a foreigner.
Yeah, just because somewhere is peaceful doesn't mean you're always going to have peace and safety.
Exactly. All right, so let's move on to the next myth, that Japan is always clean and tidy.
All right, that is one of
the, like, probably the top three I've always heard.
How do you feel about this one?
I will say, it is cleaner than most countries.
Okay.
All right. I will say that, you know, I have a lot of stamps in my little passport now, and I've traveled the world, and I could say it is cleaner than most countries that I've been to.
Okay.
But it doesn't mean that it's never dirty. All right. But some people really portray this myth like, oh, well, it's always clean, and they clean up after themselves, and you'll never see litter. False. People still litter here. We still see it on the streets, especially in Shinjuku or any of the central wards in Tokyo. if you ever are out at night, there's like tons of trash and litter everywhere. Usually it's like piled up in various parts of the street.
Right. Those are like the designated trash pickups, but they're just in the street.
They're just in the street. And then it smells. And then, you know, there's vomit, there's rats, there's cigarette buds. It's not necessarily what you would expect when you always hear, oh, Japan's so clean.
Right. Like in the daytime, it's like Shinjuku, Shibuya. At night, it's like Shinjunki and Shibuya. Like it's not.
Oh, yeah. And then, it's not, oh my gosh. It's not clean. People like pee on the streets here. And I don't even think it's illegal.
Oh, no.
Or they just don't care. But I see a lot of like just old men or just. Usually it's men in general. They just
that penis privilege. You can pee wherever. Yeah,
they just peeing on the streets. And it's like, bro. So anytime I see like a puddle or something, I avoid it. And I see a lot of like tourists. Like whenever we're there, we can tell who's a tourist or who's a resident.
Right. It's pretty clear.
And they're just walking in these puddles. I'm like, bro, that is pee. That is pee.
If it's by the side of a building at all in any shape or form,
I mean, sometimes they're bold and it's not even on the side. It's like on the
sidewalk. Yeah. There's also a lot of vomit like in the gutters or like sometimes just... Especially in like the red light district area, it's nasty.
It's
like,
nasty. It's
gross at night.
So that would be something you might be surprised when you come and visit and enjoy some of the nightlife. But as far as like daytime stuff, there's still litter, especially.
Yeah.
I've been seeing it more so from like students.
Kids don't care.
Yeah, they'll just dump stuff.
The younger generation legitimately does not care.
Yeah, they'll just dump stuff in the river or anywhere. And it's just like, wow, what? Like that's not cool. And I did hear that after the Tokyo subway sarin gas attacks in the 90s, public trash cans have reduced by a lot, so there's a lot less opportunities to throw away trash.
That was one of the things that shocked me when I came here. I was like, where am I gonna throw away this bottle?
Yeah, like, most of the time people just carry it with them and then they throw it away at home because you do have to recycle your trash. People still do a pretty good job on that, especially when you're outside of the city.
Yeah.
But it's not rare to see trash. So
I remember when I first got here, I took a picture of a can on the street. I was like, oh my God, there's litter. And then now.
Yeah, it's funny. I remember that day because like we heard that myth. We're like, oh yeah, Japan's clean. And I think because we moved to a residential area and we weren't in the city all the time, there wasn't that much litter. So it kind of was true. Another thing is that a lot of homes and apartments, I see that people collect a lot of items and their homes are often cluttered. So it's not like bad cluttered, but I just think they're also just like everybody else. They can be messy.
Yeah. And I've also noticed that dust accumulates very quickly. So like if you have a lot of things and it gets covered in dust, you know, that's let me tell you, I dusted once a month. But now it's going to be once a week.
Legit. Oh, like at your desk?
Yeah, at work. Because it's a communal work, like office kind of deal, right?
Okay.
So all the desks are open air. There's not really any like divisions or anything.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a school. So there's paperwork and there's classwork and homework. And sometimes the stuff piles up. Like I had a pile of papers on my desk and I left it there because I had dealt with it. But I forgot what I was going to do with it. I came back like 3 days later. I picked it up and like. Dust just cascaded off of it. I was like,
That's so much.
Why?
Yeah, it could be like the air conditioning.
Oh, it could.
You know, because usually if the filter is not clean, it just like throws dust everywhere. and then other people's dust, if they're not dusting their desk, it's just like flying onto yours, you know?
Or if it's summer, you got the little hand fans flying everywhere.
My portable fan is dusty, not gonna lie.
I mean, what are we going to do?
It's so hard to clean. I would expect it to open like halfway so I can like clean the blades, but it doesn't open. So I'm just like, I have to use like Q-tips or
it's
something.
It's meant to build up dust.
Okay.
Or you can just pop that's the just... front off.
Nah, it's okay. Sometimes when people are outside, they just don't care. It's like, it's not their home. So they're just like, oh, whatever. But I will say for the majority of the country, they do treat the country as like something that they have to take care of, especially the elders. So they clean up after people a lot.
Yeah. And I think the students or the younger people nowadays don't have that mentality, but a lot of them are waking up to like the realities of pollution and stuff like that. So it's kind of both. Like, students will care sometimes, but then most of the time they don't, because they're also kids. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I will say, and river near us, we like to go there occasionally and just chill. I see these little drawings. I think it's from the elementary kids, and it's like a no littering little posters. Yeah, they're like,
stop it.
They're like, stop littering, and like they'll draw like a sad earth or something. It's adorable. And I will say that river is really clean.
Yeah, except for the one time we saw a fax machine in the river.
Oh my god! Or was it a printer?
It was some kind of office
equipment. It was a whole in the river. It was a whole electronic device, y'all.
I was just very confused.
Who dumped that there? How did it
get there? Because it's a shallow river.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but no, it's generally pretty clean, except for the one time.
No, it's okay. All right. Man. So another myth I hear a lot is that everyone is nice when you get to Japan. Now, they're still human. You know, I know they love robots, but they're still human. And they can still be rude. And they will be. Not everybody, but I just think if you come here and you're like, oh, everyone's gonna be super polite.
Nah, that's being naive.
Mm-mm. I will say their customer service is on point, and you will feel most of the time like royalty or something. I don't know. They treat their customers really well.
Yeah, that is different from like the general public.
But like, yeah, Gen Pop, they don't care.
Mm-mm.
They'll do what they gotta do.
And the weirdest thing too is that they think they're invisible. Like, I've had a lot of experiences where people on public transportation or just walking around, their eyes will notice me, their face will turn, and then their body will turn, and they will continue to look at me as I'm walking. And as I'm walking past them, their head, sometimes their body, but their head's turned, and my head is turning like, I see you. And they notice that I'm also looking at them, and they're like, oh my god. And
they turn away. I'm just like, I have noticed that.
What are you doing?
Yeah, they're very curious, and so they'll look at you, and then they're very like dramatic with their movement, and you're like, oh hey, what's up? And they're just like, oh my gosh, they saw me.
And I'm like, where? Like,
I'm like,
anybody else on the street?
Yeah, that I will say, it's kind of funny, and I kind of laugh it off because I'm just like, this person really thought they were hiding behind nothing.
Yeah, sometimes it can be a little malicious, so it's like, ooh, I didn't like that. But most facts of the time, it's just curiosity or just weird people who are like, who are you in my neighborhood?
Yeah, or the gaijin haters. They don't want any foreigners too, here. Yeah, they'll be rude to you, so don't just come here and be like, there's, wow, like, they're so legit nice
protest. They'll be yelling at people in the middle of the city. They're like, go away.
Like the nationalist.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's a tired myth. I hear it so much, and I do think it kind of fetishizes East Asians or Asians in general, because yes, they're very nice people and they're very polite and they have like that kind of culture, but I think it's unfair to put that pressure onto them, because I feel like that's why they have the front. That's why they have to be kind of fake nice, because that's probably what they hear about themselves.
That's what's expected. Yeah. So like, And Japan is a country where it's like, you do what you're expected for the most part. You know, there's always rebels. But like, yeah, if people are known for quote unquote being kind, like, that's a lot of work.
It's a lot of pressure. I remember we were at a restaurant and what was it? The cashier lady, she was the register lady, my bad. She was talking to an elder man. And, you know, they have to be just super polite to elders here.
Yeah.
So I can tell she was using, like, the very proper
right.
Language. And literally, once he looked away and they were done talking, her face dropped. It was like, she was like fronting hardcore. And I was like, man, that must suck. That you have to, like,
customer service.
Exactly. It just doesn't seem genuine after a while. And I just feel like if we didn't put, like, expect that so much, they would be kind of chill. But I don't know,
I think Japan is pretty cool. I think Japanese culture is pretty cool. Do I have problems with it? Yeah. And I think one of them is the fact that everyone feels the need to be very polite. I think it restricts a lot of like genuine interaction
and emotion too.
Yeah, that too.
Yeah, because they're pressured to generally be happy or polite instead of like opposing or having their own opinion.
Like, it's a pressure to perform.
Yeah.
Basically.
Yeah, that's not fun.
All right, one of the things that I wanted to talk about.
All right.
Not everyone watches anime, because that's the myth. Mm-hmm. Japan is the land of anime. Japanime.
Everyone must watch anime.
Nah, you do when you're a kid, when you're a teenager, maybe a little bit as a young adult, but like, nah, I have a co-teacher. I was like, oh, I like this basketball anime, manga, whatever, you know, Kuroko. And he was like, oh, that's cool. Because I had a t-shirt, the Seiden basketball t-shirt. It's from it's from the show, right? And he was like, oh, that's cool. Like, is that a real, like, high school? I was like, nah, it's from an anime. He's like, oh, Slam Dunk? And I'm like, bro, Slam Dunk is old. What do you...
Oh, my gosh. That's so throwback. Okay.
Like, what? And he's like, oh, it's kind of like a basketball anime. I was like, no. I'm talking about the new one. He's like, oh, I haven't seen it. I was like, dang.
Well, yeah. Another thing I've also noticed is that, like, animes that... American population watches is not exactly the ones that Japan watches. Yeah, they have a whole different favorite popular, list. Yeah. So here, more often, people who are older than their teenage years will enjoy manga and animated films. Mm-hmm. But usually anime is equivalent to kind of like American cartoons. So it's seen for more children and teens.
Like you kind of grow out of it.
Mm-hmm. Some people still like it, but they do have like this perception of if you're like a grown adult and you watch anime, you're like an otaku, and you don't do anything with your life, you just watch cartoons and you don't have a job. It's like a really bad perception. I will say it's kind of true for some people, but that's kind of how it's seen here.
And also I don't think people know this, a majority of anime is for children.
It really is.
Like look at the so
age
much.
group.
And like on TV and just in stores, like we go anywhere and I see anime something, but true. It's usually aimed at kids, like the edgy whatever stuff that most other like international audiences like. They're not as popular here because it's mostly for kids.
Mm-hmm.
It really is.
You will see a lot of anime, like you said, for advertising.
Yeah.
So you're still going to see a lot of anime when you come here. But outside of Akihabara, the Electric City, which is known for like anime and manga and everything related to that stuff and like games.
Yeah.
That's where you're going to see a lot of people that like love anime. But outside of that, it's not really it.
There's also more chains of like otaku gear or like anime gear that are branching out. Mm-hmm. So that is something I've noticed. Like, it's not that more people are getting into anime, it's that the Akiba like central hub is kind of expanding its influence.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and it's like a good place to go to for all things anime. Like, I remember we went and it goes from, you know, the super kiddie stuff to all the way adult stuff. Yeah, so very it's endless stuff. There's arcades, there's like manga internet cafes, there's a whole lot of stuff. So I think what's really cool though is like the anime themed cafes. So like they have a Gundam cafe, and so the food is like themed that
way. You can get a Gundam lightsaber umbrella,
or like lattes and like alcoholic drinks, just food. What other cafe was there?
There's a new Sailor Moon cafe coming.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that was like a restaurant, right? No, a cafe. They have a restaurant.
Cafe deal.
Yes, they have a Sailor Moon restaurant, but they're...
What else?
Mm-hmm.
I know there's pop-ups all the time.
Mm-hmm. Oh, there's a Pokemon cafe.
There is, yes. There's a Pokemon cafe.
Yeah, so that's actually kind of cool. I like that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, because then you can eat food that's like similar to your favorite anime.
Right. The Ghibli Museum has Ghibli themed foods. So yeah
we went, but that line for the, like the meal food,
it was all was kids. Long. There was so many parents with that dead face.
Oh yeah, they were like, oh, they're like,
I gotta be here for the kid.
I will say that whole town is so cute. Like when you're like walking to the park, there's all this like Ghibli signs, and when you get there, it's just really cool.
There's a lot of nature too, like a lot, like relative to even where we live.
Yeah, and if you're into animation or just drawing like manga or anime or cartoons or anything, that museum I would say is best for people who are into like crafting that art.
Yes, 1000%. They have sketchbooks, they have little slides.
Yeah.
Like the cell
and
art.
How they made the movies. It was actually very, like, educational on, like, how the whole Ghibli series
right.
was made. So that was really cool.
Hope you're enjoying this episode. Don't forget to like and subscribe to our podcast. Want us to ramble about another topic? Drop a comment below on our Instagram, Twitter, or Facebook. Links, as always, will be in the description. All right, back to the podcast.
So let's move on to another myth.
Yes.
So one of them is you must know Japanese etiquette perfectly or else you'll be offensive.
I blame YouTube for this one.
Yeah.
Because there's so many videos of like Japanese couples or like interracial couples or like just, what is it? Japanophiles?
Japanophiles.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, whatever the term is.
Yeah.
Like people who are like, these are the etiquette rules. This is how you do this.
Like weebs. And,
Essentially.
I wouldn't blame YouTube itself, but I'd blame like YouTube creators that like the make these videos. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying.
I get what you're saying.
YouTube kind of deal.
Yeah.
At least I feel, allegedly. I'm not trying to.
I mean, it's not like that. But okay, I will say you don't need to know the etiquette perfectly.
Mm-hmm.
It is good to know some. You know how to say sorry and excuse me and please and thank yous. Basic human social interaction.
Daijoubu.
Mm-hmm. But they are also very forgiving. So if you mess up or you don't do an etiquette properly, they may be like, oh, it's okay. Maybe do it like this or this is how we do it. Of course, you may get like the grumpy person, but most times people are willing to help you and they understand like you're a foreigner here and they want to teach their culture.
Right. I think most Japanese people when dealing with foreigners are a little nervous because of that cultural difference. So it's probably on both ends. You know what I mean? Like
true.
They might not know how to handle foreign etiquette and you might not know how to handle Japanese etiquette, but that's okay. Like there's a learning opportunity there.
Mm-hmm. And as long as you're respectful, you'll be fine. They'll understand. And I feel like if you try to do it perfectly, you're gonna overdo it.
Yeah, for sure.
And they're gonna tell and they're just gonna be like, they'll probably just like kind of nervous laugh it off, but they don't expect you to act like other Japanese locals.
Right, like you're not Japanese and they know that and you know that.
Yeah, well, like no matter how much you study and no matter how much you perform, they will never see you as Japanese.
Nope.
And I know there's a lot of people who try to assimilate like 100% and that's matter. Their goal, that don't weeb matter. Culture. No, it's not going to happen. I think if you just own who you are with adding that cultural exchange, it's more respectable than trying to be another person.
Right. And again, in a perfect world, we wouldn't have cultural appropriation. That's my stance. But we're not in a perfect world. So a lot of times if you do the most, you know, it can kind of be weird for everybody involved.
Yeah.
So you don't got to know everything, you know. It's okay to make mistakes, and more often than not, if you just ask if you're unsure, Japanese people are likely to help you.
And also something I've learned like being here is that just make mistakes because you learn, like you've said that too.
Yeah.
Like make a mistake and you know you'll learn from it and you'll learn the better way to do it. Yes. Because if I think the pressure of like, oh, you need to do it perfectly makes you avoid going to certain places or avoids communicating with other people. I think just go and they'll know that you're new. Even if you've been here for like several years, they don't know that. You know, just be respectful and you'll learn something. Generally, most times you interact with
other people. Yeah, and that's the thing. Like, this is something I say because, you know, I do teach people. So I'm like, hey, don't be afraid to make mistakes, but when you make them, try to learn from them.
Mm-hmm.
Like, don't always be making mistakes. Don't get me wrong. That can actually be kind of rude and annoying. But, you know, if you make a mistake, try to make it a learning opportunity. Try to make it funny. You know, laugh it off. Be like, oh, ha, 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 my bad. Like, I didn't, you know, and you'll be fine.
Yeah, totally. All right, so another one. And this one kind of irks me.
A little bit?
Yes, a little bit. Is that Japan is so vegetarian and vegan friendly.
Really? It's not? What?
No. Even because I hear this a lot from the plant-based community about the, what is that community? The Adventist Christian. The
Seventh Day Adventist Christians. Yes. Somewhere in California.
They're Japanese and they're like 100% vegan. And so they're like, a lot of people think, oh, Japan is so healthy and they eat so many plants and blah, blah, blah.
But that's in the States. What are you talking about?
I feel like, no, I do think they eat a lot more like vegetables here than the States.
That's all of Asia though.
Like, yeah, that's true. But I will say Japan is not actually that vegetarian and vegan friendly because there's lots of pork.
Mm-hmm.
Not just like the meat itself, but like the ingredients and powder and flavoring
broth,
into flavoring. Like almost every meal. Also fish, like flavoring, it goes anywhere from like oyster flavoring, squid ink, anything. It's in a lot of stuff.
Stock, and then a lot of the time.
Exactly. And then also a lot of milk. Powder is in pastries and stuff like that.
It's in Oreos too. Like Japanese Oreos are not vegan friendly as opposed to international Oreos.
Yeah. So, and another thing is, you know, you could say, oh, why can't you just substitute? Well, it's usually rude, especially if a chef made you a dish, to customize that dish or to substitute or add. So you're kind of out of luck when it comes to like pre-made foods or someone making you food. Right. Of course, you can try to make it work at your own house.
Or if somebody invites you, just let them know beforehand.
But even then, I would say that's kind of rude.
It is, but at least you're preparing them. Like, I've noticed if somebody invites you, that's different from like a chef or like a restaurant. Like,
true.
There's varying levels for sure, but it's still hard.
Yeah, just don't expect like anyone and everyone to bend to your restrictions.
Yeah.
Also, there's hardly any mock meat options. You're pretty much stuck with tofu.
You can find some, but it's very rare.
Yeah, I know there's like an online store, Tingu Natural Foods.
Yes.
They sell some American mock meats, but like where it's normally like $2 in the States, it's like $7, $8 here.
Because it's an import thing.
It's an import. So I would say that's not friendly. That's not accessible.
Aeon Mall is starting to stock a few more in like larger cities.
True. Yes.
It's still like a slow start.
I will say, yes, you're right. Because I saw a person on my Instagram who they went to Aeon Mall and they had like vegan cheese and like vegan pizzas or something like that.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, okay, that's cool. But that's like not everywhere,
right?
I will say a good way to find out if like what kind of vegetarian stuff there is, if you go to a vegetarian festival.
Yes, that is a thing. Those are fun.
Those like, are cool. We've been there.
Even if you're not a vegetarian or vegan, go. It's super cool.
It's cool because like you see different restaurants who are you know, vegetarian, like make the foods and you go and try it and you're like, oh cool. And then sometimes there's like kind of like little shops that they make like dairy-free butter, and so you kind of learn, oh, okay, that's cool, like that exists, and then you can learn how to access that. But I still say Japan's not vegan friendly.
But also it's like who you know, like, so if you go to the festivals, it's not like the internet, and this goes for like blanket statement all of Asia, the internet is not going to give you 100% of the information. So like, I mean, if you know somebody at the festival, or if you go and you meet someone, get a business card, like find a name, you're more
that's like a lot of work though. Like, think about like think about that. Yeah, that's, I don't know. I just don't think when you come here and you go to a convenience store, you go to a store, you're going to be surrounded by a lot of meat. And also like fruit is very expensive. Like,
oh my God,
I'm talking
talk
like $5 mangoes, $8 peaches. $20 watermelons. So you're going to be stuck with like bananas and maybe citrus. Even that's kind of up there.
Apples, maybe.
Yeah, that's still, it's still more expensive.
Yeah.
And also produce is very seasonal here, which is really cool. I like eating with seasons.
Mm-hmm.
But you won't have every ingredient all year long. So yes. I know when we lived in the States, if we wanted to make any kind of thing that involved like veggies, we can get that like any time of the year, because
that's food abundance for sure. It's not seasonal, and seasonal will have like, oh check this out, but like it's nowhere near the same amount.
But if you are vegetarian or vegan and you're listening, there is an uprising in vegetarian restaurants, but it's mainly centered in Tokyo, like in the 23 ward. So I would just hit up Happy Cow app.
Yes. Oh my God.
That's honestly for international, but you can find restaurants that for your taste. Mm-hmm. And then options at restaurants are slowly increasing, but it's not that variant. A good one that's like throughout all of Japan is Koko Ichibanya curry.
Koko Ichi. Yeah. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. They actually made it like where all of their stores have vegan curry or vegetarian curry. So
right, it's like the non-pork curry base roux, whatever. Mm-hmm. Whatever.
So it's slowly increasing, but I will still say the myth of like they eat so many plants and like they're just so healthy is, I would say, a myth, because like they eat a lot of meat.
Yeah. And to be fair, they do eat a lot of plants in like a variation, like the little bentos will have a bunch of different vegetables, but the main thing is rice and meat.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Like, and a lot of things are soaked in like fish broth. Right. So even if it is veggie, especially if it's like pickled stuff, it's like soaked in like bonito broth or something like something. That. So I think that's the thing that really gets me, because I try to be more plant-based here, and I notice that even things that aren't meat have like soaked broth in it or something. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of frustrating, especially when you can't read the ingredients. If you're looking for something like that, just use your Google Translate if you really have to have it meat free. Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And again, ask questions. Just ask, you know. Yeah.
I mean, if you can, because sometimes, I will say the word vegan isn't really understood here. I know if you go, I don't know, you have to look it up on Google, but I know there's like translation cards you can take with you are like, hey, I'm vegetarian and I can't have this and this and that, and they'll translate it in Japanese. So that might help. So if you're at a restaurant and they'll be like, okay, this option is for you, you know? Right. So yeah. All right. So the last one I want to talk about is that Tokyo is so crowded.
Oh my gosh, Brie. So many people around. I can't breathe.
Well, I will say we have mentioned before that Tokyo is crowded, but the idea that that's all Tokyo is kind of unnerving, because like we live here and we experience outside of that. And yeah. Tokyo is actually really big. I think I've said this before too. Check it out on a map. It's not just the 23 wards. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of suburbs. They even have their own mountainous area. It's not just the city life.
Yeah. And another thing is that, yes, the metropolitan, like urban areas, they're crowded. Don't get it twisted. But there are places where it's not. There's oh my God.
I would say there's a lot more.
So many.
Yes, there's a lot more areas that aren't crowded than crowded.
Mm-hmm. And the crowded areas, everybody knows about them. Like, if you talk to anybody who's lived here a long time, they can tell you, hey, don't go here at this time.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Usually if you want to beat the crowds in like the popular areas, just go on a weekday before noon.
Like a random Wednesday.
Yeah, before noon. Go at 10, 11. And it'll be actually very nice. That's actually what we do if we want to film anything or we want to take pictures, because the crowds, one, it's just not safe to be like shoulder to shoulder and like trying to film something, because like, you know, pickpocketing can happen.
Or you don't want to get somebody's face and they're just like, what the heck? And
yes, like, exactly. Yeah. You, especially when you want to show like, oh, this is what it looks like. You don't want people in the way.
Yeah.
But that's a good tip. But yeah, there's a lot of residential areas and it's really peaceful. If anything, during the work week, since I work from home, if I go on a walk and, you know, when everyone else is like at like a building or something or at school, it's like no one is outside. It's kind of eerie. So yeah, whenever people say that, I'm like, well, the map says I'm in Tokyo and it's not crowded. Yeah,
a lot of people think Tokyo is Shibuya, Shinjuku, Harajuku, but there's actually a city of Tokyo. Like, it's on the, what is it, west-east side of Shinjuku and Shibuya.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, Tokyo, the prefecture, is pretty big, so.
Yeah, there's a lot of different towns and cities within the prefecture. I would say check it out if you're ever here. Just, you know, look it up. There's some cities that are known for certain things. You know, you can go to Tachikawa, you can go to Kichijoji,
Chofu,
Hachioji, you know, just like Takao.
It's like on the border.
Yeah. I mean, no, there's even more outside of...
Outside of Takao?
Yeah, there's a whole other area, a whole other city. Mm-hmm. But yeah, if you go to Takao, you can climb a mountain and it's still in Tokyo. So like I said, there's so much.
There's a lot. And there's also a lot of nature. So, you know, if you're in a more naturey area, it's not as many people. Just saying.
True.
I think west of the Tama River and then closer towards... Not Yokohama, the other side, like the Disney Sea area, it's not as crowded.
Oh, like Chiba.
Yeah, thank you, Chiba. Those areas are not as crowded.
Mm-hmm. But I do wonder, and like as we travel more, even in our area, I wonder if that's still technically crowded to people outside of Tokyo. So I do want to check. Well, I know versus the Inaka, like the countryside, of course. But I mean, like in other major cities, like I want to see, because I do hear that a lot. And I'm like, I'm curious. You know, like, is it really that crowded? Because that means it's just, like, bare in other places.
True.
Yeah. I mean.
There's a couple places I want to visit, but we should definitely see. Because I'm curious. Like, yeah, I didn't think about that. Is Tokyo the prefecture? Are we just used to it?
We could be, but I will say, I don't know. I have a good idea of what is crowded. And there's a lot more less crowded.
Yeah, it can be, but I think where we're at, it's not as much.
It's not that much. But yeah, and as we travel, we'd love to take y'all with us. We'll probably talk about it or take pictures or do videos. So, and if there's like an area you'd like us to visit or you've been to, let us know. All right, so let's close off this episode with what we think other countries could adopt from Japan. So let's...
You want other countries to adopt Japan?
No, from Japan.
I totally misheard that.
Okay, what do we think other countries could adopt from Japan?
Okay, I thought you were saying, because I heard somewhere recently that Trump wants to buy Greenland. I was like,
oh yeah, I did see that.
We're not selling Japan.
No. You know, he probably would buy Japan. And Abe would be like, yes, we're friends.
Allegedly.
Allegedly. All right, so do you want to go first?
Okay, I'll go. Moving here. When I first moved here, I was like, oh my God, I'm so excited for the toilets because like it saves water or whatever. Mm-hmm. Turns out I actually don't like that because you flush and you got to like rush to wash your hands. Nah. What other country should adopt from Japan? And okay, this is going to be a long-term goal, right? It's not going to be where Japan is right away. Just off the bat. Accessible public transportation.
True. Talk about it.
So there's so many buses. They're wheelchair accessible. The train stations are very, very accessible from all neighborhoods. Neighborhoods are often built around train lines and like station areas as urban centers. So like the train system is deeply integrated into the urban planning of cities and townships. So like literally you can travel anywhere in Japan and not have to fly. Like it is bananas to me.
Yeah,
you can drive, you can take a bus, you can take a train. Heck, I'm sure you could probably get a boat somewhere. Like
in some areas, I'm pretty
sure. Accessible public transportation is so clutch and it's affordable. It's subsidized. There's IC cards where it's like you just tap and go. It's easy to reload. Like, man.
I will say I did hear that Japan is a little expensive with travel compared to like places like South Korea.
This is true, yeah.
But it's not. But it's still pretty affordable, I would say.
Well, doesn't South Korea do more taxis
than trains? I think so, yeah. Their taxis are definitely cheaper from what I've heard.
Yeah, so like not like private transportation, like public transportation.
That would be cool. My only concern with like adopting that is I don't know if I don't think other countries would really know the best way to do it for their own place, you know? And I don't know how that would affect people's homes. That's the only thing I would think about.
Yeah, you're right.
Like if they have the land for trains, cool, but if they have to like tear down people's homes, not cool.
I think a solution to that is monorails, because monorails are lifted
or above.
Yeah,
that's true. Okay, so for me, I would say something that other countries could adopt from Japan is the recycling and sorting of trash system here.
Ooh, talk about it.
Now, I will say, despite all of that, Japan is a high plastic producer and consumer.
Yeah.
So they do create a lot of trash, but I'm not sure if after all the recycling and sorting, like what they do with it. So don't come at me. I don't know if it's all actually recycled or burned or if it's just dumped into the ocean. But I think the idea of sorting your trash into burnables and non-burnables and then like pet bottles and
right, having different days
metals
to get it picked up.
And clothes and cardboard, I think it makes you more conscious of your waste and consumption. Mm. Because before coming here, we would just dump everything in one big old trash can.
Yeah, and it would go to a landfill.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure some of it still goes to landfill here, but I just didn't pay attention to how much I was buying that had to be thrown away. Mm. But because we have to sort everything here, I'm like, dang, like, you know, I don't want to keep buying this bulky plastic thing that, you know, a container when I could just buy like the bulk version or something. You
right,
know?
Right.
So that's what I would say. I think that idea and just learning more about that would definitely help people understand that they don't have to buy like certain things all the time. And maybe they can glass jars or, you know, just be more eco-friendly.
What is it? Responsible consumption kind of deal.
Exactly. I learned that a lot more coming here.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I agree. I know you're right. Japan does produce a lot of plastic, but I think how they handle their like trash disposal is really, it's commendable.
Yeah, and it's everywhere, not just for like your home, but if you go to a convenience store or a shopping mall, everything is separated. They're like, okay, throw away, you know, burnables here, or if you have plastic, throw it away in this trash
can.
Right.
Very rarely is it just one trash can.
Exactly. All right. Anything else you want to add?
We're talking about myths. What do y'all think about myths of Japan? Let us know.
True. Because maybe we can make a part two.
That would be cool. Like a user submission or whatever.
Yeah, like what do you hear about Japan a lot? And we can tell you if it's true or not.
Yeah, or we'll look into it. So hit us on Twitter, Instagram, all the socials.
Exactly. Links always in the description.
Always.
Mm-hmm. All right. Thanks for listening, everyone. And if you want more content from us, check out our YouTube channel. We recently filmed a video about summer festivals and another snack talk where we try Japanese beers and snacks.
Yes.
That got a little too lit, but check it out.
Oh, there's another video, too. How to make postcards in Japan. Make your own.
True. It's cool. Because if you're traveling here, you want to send something back home.
Yes, souvenirs, whatever.
Yep. And they're very affordable.
Yeah.
All right. So go ahead and subscribe to that channel for the latest videos. We appreciate everyone that tuned in.
All y'all.
All right. Bye, everyone.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Abnormal Japan podcast. Stay tuned for future content by following us on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. Support us by leaving us a review, sharing us on your socials, or even joining the Abnormie community on Patreon. Until next time.